This is the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome. This is Joey Salazar, and you are listening to the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast. It is an absolute privilege to be able to connect with you through this means, and it really does mean a lot that you would be tuning in for every episode, whether it's your first episode or whether you've been with us since the beginning. Again, thank you so much to everybody who's posting, sharing, commenting. It's just so cool to see how connected we are. We recently had a contest, and it was so cool because the winner of this contest was actually from California. And it's just amazing to see what God is doing through this podcast. But again, it means a lot that you'd be tuning in today. Today, you're in for an absolute treat. We definitely have something on our heart. I have something on my heart that I want to share with you. And this actually comes from a recent message that I had the opportunity to share here at my local church. And the title of the message was, Don't Stop at Six. And I think this is a message so relevant for leaders today, because if we can be honest, there are moments in our leadership, there are moments in our lives when we feel like giving up. If you haven't felt like giving up yet in leadership, you probably just haven't led for long enough yet. And I'm not a prophet. I'm not declaring negativity over your life. I've just lived long enough. I've just gone through enough things to understand that leadership and life is not just a walk in the park, but there are challenges and opportunities for us to grow through these challenges. And I got this title for the message from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, specifically from verses 41 through 45. This is the passage. I won't read it all right now, but you could look it up for yourself. But in basic, in summary, this is the section where Elijah is sending his servant up the mountain, asking him. Elijah's saying, hey, I hear that rain is coming. And he says, go and tell me what you see. And the Bible says that the servant went up a total of seven times. And it wasn't until the seventh time that he actually says, hey, I see a sign. I see a cloud, the size of a man's hand. And I was just imagining, I was just picturing, I like to put myself in the passages at times when I'm preparing my messages. And I was thinking, what would have happened if he would have given up on six? What would have happened if he would have said, you know what, I've done this before. You know what, I've tried this and it hasn't worked out. And I wonder if you've ever caught yourself saying those same things. Maybe it's a strategy in church, or maybe it's something you've been praying about for a while. And you're just like, but I've done this before. And I really just felt at that moment to encourage our church, and now you, our listeners, our podcast, to simply don't stop at six. I really believe that the promises of God for your life are there, are available, and you're closer than you think you are. And if I can be honest, the beginning of this particular year, 2022, it's brought its own challenges. Yes, we've had some incredible times with the things of God, and I've accomplished some goals and all that good stuff. But just being transparent, I myself have gone through some things as well. And there was moments where it would have been easy for me to throw in the towel, but I'm so thankful for God's scripture encouragement and the community around me that reminds me time and time again, hey, don't give up and continue moving forward. And so in the next portion that you're going to hear, we're actually going to allow you to listen to part of the message. If you want to listen to the entire message, you can go to our website at joeysalazar.org/videos. But in this next portion that you're about to hear, this next excerpt, we're going to unpack reasons why sometimes we stop early and what we can do to fight against that. Again, I really believe that the best is yet to come for you, your leadership, your church, your family, and everything that you're connected to. And so again, don't stop at six. God is not done yet working in your life, and you're closer than you think you are. I hope this message blesses you. Until next time.
I wrote down a couple of reasons why I think, though, sometimes you and I, we give up too early. It's in our human nature, like, hey, we want to see things happen, but if we're not careful, sometimes we'll be led by our feelings rather than by our faith. We'll be led by what we see rather than God's strength. And so I think one of the reasons sometimes we give up a little bit too early is because we don't see any progress. Bible says it took him 7 times to go. Nothing changed the first 6 times. And then even at the 7th, it wasn't a huge cloud. It was a small cloud. But what do you do when you don't see any progress? I'm reminded of a small seed that when you put it into the ground, you don't see anything right away, but it's growing underneath. What if God is maybe more interested in first and foremost doing something in us than maybe even through us? What if the progress that we're looking for, we're looking outwardly, but the whole time God is wanting to do something on the inside of our lives? Because it would be so encouraging and so motivational if God would answer our prayers immediately. If by the time you said amen, boom, you had a job. Boom, you had that car. Boom, you were back together. Boom, whatever your prayer request, it would be so encouraging if... This is one of the reasons why I hate working out. It's hard to see the progress. After you go one time, you look in the mirror, oftentimes you don't see anything different. If I was God, I would change this whole situation where, hey, while you're working out, just one ab pops out. Give me one ab, God, you know? I'll take one at a time, like, but that lets me know it's working. But God, it doesn't work like that all the time. And so here the question here is, will you keep walking even when it doesn't seem to be working? Will you keep walking? The Bible says that he walked back and forth without seeing progress, but only because he had a promise. Are you willing to walk even when you don't see progress? When, hey, God, I know you gave me this word, but I'm gonna trust you and I'm gonna follow you. The enemy loves to use our problems to block our perspective at times. I could have focused only on all the bad things or the negative things that happened in my life these 21 days or here recently. And I shared those things not only to not to seek your pity. I'm not seeking a GoFundMe page. And I also understand that there's a lot of more people who went through some more difficult stuff even in these past 21 days. But all that to say is that we all have some stuff that we're going through. And what do we do when those get in the way of what God is trying to show us, what God has promised us? The Bible says that Elijah sent the servant up even higher. He had to get above his problems, had to go to a whole nother level. I'm reminded of Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, that says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The Bible calls and challenges us to lift our eyes, lift our perspective above the problem, above the feelings, above what's right in front of us. The Bible challenges us to lift up even higher because you can't always trust what you see. Have you ever grabbed the wrong ingredient while cooking and now you messed up your whole meal? Have you ever grabbed the wrong you thought it was deodorant, but it's actually Nair, and you were trying to, like, have you ever grabbed the wrong item, and now it's, you can't trust what you always see? I'm reminded of when my wife and I, we were dating. We were in Gainesville at this time. The church where we served at had multiple buildings, and it just so happened to be that we both walk out of two different buildings, and now we find ourselves in the same hallway. We're dating in this moment, and we're both walking in the same direction. So she doesn't see me, but I see her. And she's pretty. And I want to let her know. And so I'm just like, she doesn't see me. I'm going to surprise her. I'm back here. She's over there. And from back here, I just whistle at the loudest, decibel I can. I'm trying to get some points. She turns around. And it's not my wife. I'm like, I need glasses. Because you can't always trust what you see, but you can trust what you hear. The Bible says, I hear the sound of rain and it's coming. What have you been listening to here recently? Who have you been listening to? Because it matters what you listen to. It matters what you put into your spirit. I think another reason why we sometimes give up too early, not only because we don't see any progress, but sometimes because the instructions remain permanent. What do I mean by that? So many of us, we want something new. God, tell me what to do next. Give me something different to do. The Bible says that Elijah gave the same response seven times or six times. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. What do you do when what do you do when the only instructions that you are receiving from the Lord are the same thing over and over and over again? Come on, God. Come on. You're a God of the new. Come on, God. I know you can speak, you can move, and you can do things in mysterious ways, God. Like, give me something fresh. But what if God is more committed to, what if God wants you to focus more on your obedience than rather than your outcome? Here's a life lesson for us, all right? Obedience is your responsibility. Outcome is His. Sometimes we're so focused on the outcome and how we're going to get there. But hey, God is seeking obedience from you and from me. And if all He's telling us is go back, if all He's telling us is do it again, if all God's telling us is the same thing He told us last time, hey, there's probably a good reason for that. I have a chance to talk and counsel many people, and oftentimes people are asking, you know, how do I know what God's will is next for my life and a next season, my next step and stuff like that. And one of the things I like to share with people is simply, hey, until God makes the very next step clear, go back to the last thing He made clear and keep doing that until He's not going to lead you in confusion. He's not going to leave you to kind of figure it on your own. He'll guide you, but maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something in the last word that He gave you. Why would we be so interested in a new word when we still haven't done the old word? When we haven't done what He told us to do last time. God, sometimes God will repeat certain things in our lives so that we can learn something, so we can change our focus, so that we can understand that, again, obedience is for us, outcome is for Him. I don't know how it's going to work. All God told me was to go back. All God told me was to go back. All God told me was to forgive. All God told me was to serve or to love or to go. Outcome is up to Him. I think one other reason why maybe sometimes we give up a little bit too early is because it's not happening at our desired pace. Six times, the Bible says, He have to go back and forth. And on the seventh time, He saw it. How many people here, by a show of hands, like to wait in really long lines? Thank you for your honesty. Okay, there is not one hand raised up high. You know, there's a job, I don't know if it still exists, but I remember a certain time you could hire people to stand in line for you in certain lines. Like you just pay somebody, hey, stand in line for me, and when it's my turn, I get closer, I'll come and stand in line, and that's it. Like, that's how much people don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. That's why we all have Amazon Prime. We want it a little bit faster. When my battery was coming for my laptop through Amazon, like, I'm legit following it daily. Like, I was falling by the stops away. I knew how many stops and where the truck was. Like, I was so close to going and meeting up with Him somewhere. Like, I was just like, hey, I'll just take it already, bro. I need this for my sermon. But I didn't do that. But we don't like to wait. But the Bible says here that it took seven times. And I like this number reference here, because when you study Scripture, you're able to, one of the things I was able to find out is that the number six in the Bible represents man or weakness. That's why the Bible says that we were created on the sixth day, right? And so, but seven though represents something totally different. Seven represents God, represents completion, represents perfection. And I think there might be something here. Maybe there's a reason why it had to happen on seven and maybe not on six. Maybe because it wasn't gonna be on our timeline. Maybe it was gonna happen on God's timeline. Six would have been up to us. Hey, I want it faster. I'll take it any time faster. One through six, I'll take it faster. But what do you do when six times happen, 6 days happen, 6 years happen, 6 months happen, and you haven't seen anything? You know what? You don't stop at six. Because I believe one more time can make all the difference in your life. Even in my life, when I think back to moments when I've had to wait, like it's to the point to where I don't like to wait even when I'm reading. Like I wanna know how much longer something's gonna take me to finish. I don't know if that's any of you, like you wanna know how long is this project gonna take me. So when I'm reading a book, I'll oftentimes go to the next chapter, the beginning of the next chapter, and I'll hold the pages just so that I know how many pages more I have left. And I'm encouraged that I don't have to finish the book, I just gotta finish the chapter. Right, because I can see that, I can do that. I can't read the whole book, but I can read this and much. And I think oftentimes our minds are so like that, that we're just like, God, how much longer? Like it would be amazing if God would tell us, hey, how much longer am I gonna suffer with this? How much longer am I gonna be addicted to this? How much longer am I gonna have to wait for my promise? How much longer am I gonna have to go through these things? But it doesn't work like that. But we can trust that it'll happen not on our time, but it'll happen on the perfect time of God. When is it gonna happen? I can't tell you when, but I can tell you that it's gonna happen on the perfect time of God. In your life, for your promise, for that thing which you are believing, it's going to happen on the perfect time of God. Hebrews 10:36, the Bible says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. You must persevere. It won't be always be easy, but if you can hold on, you will receive the promise. I remember I was 9 years old when one day after school, my dad picked up my brother and I, and he told us something, made our eyes really open, and he said, hey, I have a surprise for you. And I was like, okay, but it's not Christmas, and it's neither of our birthdays, and so what's going on here? When we get home, in the driveway, there is a go-kart. This is something we had wanted for a while, and this is something that we had talked about, we had watched videos about, and all of a sudden now, this thing that we saw so distant is now finally here for us in our driveway. Oh man, we were gonna battle to see who went first. The only issue was that when we got out of the car and we ran to this go-kart, I come to find out that it's missing something. It's missing the engine. He got it on clearance. Dad, I don't know a lot about cars, but I do think you need some type of engine to make this thing move. How exactly are we supposed to use it? We're smaller at this time. We're not as strong. Do you expect us to push each other around? Like, how is this thing supposed to work? He said, of course you're not going to push each other around. I have an idea. Goes into the garage, pulls out a rope. And I'm like, Dad, are you going to pull us like the whole time? He's like, of course not. He ties it to the front of the go-kart, and then the other end, he ties it to the back of our car. We're okay, all right? Just, I'm gonna let you know how it finishes. Like, we're good. We're all good. You know, we're not mad at each other. We talk, all right? So, like, but I remember he would take us around the house. We had some land, so we actually could drive around the house, and he would drive us, and he'd pull us, and we were having the time of our lives. Now that I think about it, I'm like, bro, I could have died. I should not be here today, you know? Like, I could have died. That was the beginning and the end of my racing career, just so you know that. Never really followed NASCAR too much, but it did pique my interest in racing for a little bit and just kind of learning some things. And NASCAR, I don't watch it all the time, but I don't know if you know this about NASCAR, but NASCAR can preach if you pay attention to it. I was talking to Martin this past week. He knows a lot more about cars and racing than I do. And I was sermon prep and I was bouncing some questions off of him about cars and racing. And we were talking about this and he was telling me that it's not uncommon, the very last lap of any race, for there to be crashes or for the opposition to ramp up because everybody wants to win first place. Everybody wants to finish. And so it's very possible that the closer you get to the end, that's when everything gets tougher. Everything gets tighter. Everything gets more difficult. And I was like, oh man, that actually kind of preached, because could it be possible that the opposition that you and I are facing aren't an indication that we're headed in the wrong direction? But what if it was an indication that we're almost to the finish line? That'll preach. I kept reading a little bit more about NASCAR, and I learned that there's a position on the team for NASCAR called the spotter. And I'm going to read to you what the spotter is supposed to do. A spotter in auto racing is a trained team member whose job is to relay information to their driver, keeping them alert of what is occurring on the track. They are typically positioned higher atop of one of the grandstands or other support buildings to see the entire track. Spotters keep in constant contact with their drivers via two-way radio communication. Spotters are considered the driver's eyes. Wow. I said, man, that'll preach. Because you know what? We're in this race called life. And similar to how they have their spotters, they're over there standing way at the top above everybody else, but they do it intentionally so that they can see the whole track. They can see further than what the driver can see. They can see when there's a crash up ahead. They can see and they can communicate back and forth, hey, directions and instructions on how to win strong and how to win well. Similar to them, we're in a race called life, and our spotter isn't standing on this building, but he stands on the throne of heaven. And I would even say he's the ultimate spotter, because he doesn't just stand there, but he even took our spot on the cross 2,000 years ago when it should have been you and it should have been me. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take their place and I'm going to take their spot. And now he sits above the world and he watches life and he sees the big picture even when you and I can't. And he communicates a two-way street and he says, hey, you got this. And hey, be careful. And hey, leave him. And hey, take that job. And hey, stop doing this. And oh, he's the ultimate spotter. That'll preach. But the thing I really want to just leave you with, this is the thing that, again, I'm just visual, so I just like to see stuff. You may or may not know this, but during the races, a race could be anywhere from like 70 to like 500 laps in a circle, just an oval, just kind of going around. During the races, there's different color flags that will be flown, that will be waved at times, and every flag means something different. When you win, you get a checkered flag. And that means that, hey, you're done and good and a faithful servant, like well done. Like you're done, you got it, you reached the end, you won. And that's cool, but I think there's another flag that really just kind of stood out to me a little bit more. And it's actually a white flag. And when I was studying, it says the white flag, they will wave this flag when they are on their last lap. They will begin to wave this flag to the racers to let them know, hey, you're almost there. You're almost done. Don't stop. And I felt like I had to get this through Amazon Prime so that I could wave it here today. Because somebody maybe has been praying for a sign. God, when am I gonna get my promise? And I see everybody else, and this is taking a little bit longer, and I'm not seeing a lot of progress, and the instructions don't change, and God, it's not happening as fast as what I thought it was gonna do it, and all these other things, and I feel like God just told me, Joey, you just order a flag and begin to wave it, because this is my sign to let somebody know, hey, you're almost there. Don't stop at six. Don't stop at six. Go back. Go one more time. Don't stop at six.
Thank you for tuning in. For more information and additional resources, check out joeysalazar.org and follow him on Instagram at joeysalazar. Please feel free to rate, review, share, and subscribe. Once again, thank you so much for joining the Joey Salazar Leadership Podcast.